I'm Risa Williams, and this is the Motivation Mindset Podcast, where I talk to successful and productive people about how they manage their time. I'm the author of The Ultimate Time Management Toolkit. I'm also a therapist and productivity coach in Los Angeles. Today, I'm talking to my good friend, Erica Curtis. She's a therapist, board-certified art therapist, and the author of the books, The Innovative Parent and Art Therapy Activities for Kids. Erica has a private practice, is a faculty member for UCLA Arts and Healing, and is a busy mom of three. So Erica, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, you're so welcome. I'm happy to be here with you, Risa.
I've known you for a while and you always have a lot going on and you're always rushing around doing all these incredible things. So walk me through what your typical week looks like and how you keep your calm during your busy schedule.
Sure. Well, nowadays, it really depends on the day of the week. If you had asked me this question a few years back, I would have said, well, first I do this, and then I run here, and then I go back, and then I answer the call, and then I go pick up my kids from school, and then I see a client, and then I run back home, and then I go to the grocery store, and then I go back and see another client. And like, that's what my days used to look like. But now what I've done is I've scheduled my weeks so that I have some days that are mostly for work and then other days that are mostly for me to be in mom mode. And then I fit in my self-care activities around those two main priorities in my life, my parenting and my career. One thing that I've learned about myself is that I manage my time and energy much more effectively when I'm not multitasking or shifting back and forth between very different tasks throughout the day.
And that's hard to do when you're a busy person who likes to be busy and moves really quickly. Often what we do is we think we're being efficient by multitasking or, like you said, rushing around and trying to like check all the boxes. But in actuality, we're not being as efficient at all, right? With right. our time.
Absolutely. It really didn't work well. I kept insisting in my mind that it did, like, oh, like I can be really efficient. I can squeeze this in here and go back in there. And it was this constant shifting modes. And I think one, I wasn't very good at anything. I mean, I was good at things, but I didn't feel like I was really giving anything my full attention. So things were actually taking me longer. Mm-hmm. I mean, a nice example is with my two books, and there were some other reasons for the difference here, but the first book I wrote took me 5 years to write. And now mm-hmm. I was also, you know, having my three kids during that time and we had a big move and, you know, all of that, but I was doing a lot of that back and forth, you know, mm-hmm. changing a diaper with one hand while I was typing with the other hand.
That's always fun.
Right. And then my second book, I just carved out time to write. And, you know, being able to sit down and have and know that I need, you know, a couple hours at least to get started and to get going and to get into it. You know, I was able to write that book in a few months.
That's so amazing. So yeah. I know you and I have some things in common in that we are both busy moms, therapists, writers, authors, and professors. Plus, you do a whole bunch of other stuff in addition to that. And I know I tell people sometimes when they ask what I do that I wear many hats because it's the idea of like, okay, I'm switching the hat. I'm like taking off my professor hat and now I'm rushing off to therapist hat or putting on the writer cap. And I've always just kind of compartmentalized it in that way. And I think that speaks to what you're saying, which is like, you know, you wear one hat and you focus on one thing at a time. But you had a cooler term for that called mind modes, which I really like, which is much catchier than my hat idea. So could you explain that for us right now?
Right. Absolutely. Well, it wasn't actually until I was thinking about this podcast and sort of preparing for it and thinking like, what do I do? How do I organize my day and get things done? And I was thinking like, well, I use lists and I use reminders and I use post-it notes and I use color blocking in my calendar. But then I was thinking, but what is the overarching sort of framework that all of those little tools fit into? And then I came up with this idea of mind modes, which is really driven by values. And so I have my mommy mode, I have my work mode. And I'd say that those are really the two identities. They're not just checking off tasks, but they're more about identities and values and meanings that come with my identity as a parent, and my identity as a therapist, which encapsulates my workshops and my writing and, you know, all of that. And even in mom mode, I mean, if I'm folding laundry, if I'm going to the store, I mean, those might be sort of mundane tasks that we, you know, all kind of like, oh, got to do that. But really now it's just sort of within that bigger umbrella of mom mode. And so I feel like, hey, I'm doing mom stuff. Like that feels good to me, to be in that role and in really in that identity as a mother.
So when you're switching in between these modes, do you have any tricks to make that transition smoother? Because I know for me, at times it can be a little bit bumpy getting right in and out of each mode.
Yes. Well, one, like I said, I try not to switch between modes too quickly. If I can stay in a mode for a chunk of time, that's helpful. Naming it is really important to me. I mean, even the other day, I was running a supervision group. And then afterwards, I was transitioning into mom mode. And especially for my kids, it's important for them to know I'm here for you now. I am now available. And so I walked out of the back room where I was on a Zoom call supervising and walked out and said, all right, I'm in mom mode. What are we doing? And so just naming it, not over only for my kids, but for myself. And then another piece that's really important is, you know, this kind of overflow where, you know, I might be in not just mom mode, but me mode. You know, I call it me mode, which is sort of my self-care, just daily kind of things that I do, like exercise. And then my working mind kind of creeps in, or my parenting mind creeps in, and I start chewing on something work-related while I'm exercising. And so it's important to me to be very mindful and aware, oh, wait, I'm exercising right now. I'm in me mode, but my mind is in work mode. So I'm going to make a choice right now. Do I want to be working in my mind right now, even though I'm not in work mode? Is that helpful? Is this productive? An example of that might be a lot of times if I go for a jog, if I am working on prepping a workshop or writing another chapter of a book, it gets my creative juices flowing while I'm jogging. And so sometimes I'll assess the situation and go, yeah, this is really productive. Actually, I'm having some really great creative ideas right now. I'm going to keep using this time to just let my brain kind of work in a different way, because I'm coming up with some creative ideas that are going to be really helpful. Other times I check in, and this could even just be driving in the car, and I'll think, wait a minute, I'm just chewing on a problem, and I'm just looping on it. And I'm not actually feeling creative or productive or solving anything. I'm just chewing on a problem or ruminating on an argument with one of my kids. Or and in that case, and I'll ask myself, okay, well, is this really what you want to be doing? And I'll say no. And so then I use some mindfulness strategies to clear my mind, get back into the present, and just give my mind a break. Because if I let my mind just go, it would be in work mode almost 98% of the time.
Right. And we only have so much mental energy each day. Right. And that's a very quick way to burn through it when you're ruminating and worrying. It's like all this time you set aside for that mode then gets eaten away. And your mental energy goes down the drain too. So I like how you're like kind of clearing the decks and saying, wait a minute, is this how I want to direct my mental energy? And is this also how I want to spend this chunk of time, knowing that your time and mental energy are limited each day?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah.
I think an interesting point that you brought up is the idea as parents, when we're doing this kind of thing, we're kind of modeling to our children time boundaries as well. Because even just announcing to them, you know, I'm in rest mode, or I'm in work mode, or I'm in, you know, mom mode now, playtime mode, we're sort of showing them different boundaries. Could you speak about that a little bit?
Right. Absolutely. I think not only does it help us as parents to name that, we, especially nowadays, as work has kind of flowed over into family life. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes I'll be on my phone and I'll be either scheduling a play date or I'll be responding to a scheduling question for a client. And my kids will come up and say, oh, mommy, da, 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 you know, usually all three of them at once, right? So all three of them are asking for my attention. And I'll kind of joke with them. I'll say, you know, I'm not playing Candy Crush right now. Like, if you see me on my phone, I am either working or scheduling your lives. But I realize, you know, that's important to state ahead of time to say, I'm going to do something for work right now, or I am doing this for you, and to really name that, or else they just see you looking at your phone. And it's like this half availability, which is kind of confusing to them. Mm-hmm. As much as possible, not just naming those boundaries, but also setting those boundaries for ourselves, which I've worked hard at, which is putting the phone away, not multitasking, because with the phone and the kids and things like that, because that's role modeling for them also, healthy habits with managing their time and not going into, I know you talk about this in your book, Risa, those sinkholes, right? Yeah. Where, you know, I'm not a social media kind of sinkhole person, thank goodness. I just put hard boundaries for myself around that. But I realize with my work boundaries too, it's really important to not just state it, but to also model it behaviorally. And really these, like you talk about in your book, these are all tools and skills. And the sooner we teach our kids and model them for our kids, the easier time they're going to have creating not just boundaries, but flexible boundaries around their time, priorities. Mm-hmm.
In a way we're training them to also say when they get older, hey, I'm working on homework right now. I need a minute. Or like, I just want to go chill out in my room and de-stress. I mean, maybe not younger kids, but definitely as they get to be teenagers, we're kind of modeling that to say to them, it's okay. Go take that time, you know, go into that mode for a little while, but then come out and let's connect again when you're done.
Yes, 100%. And I'll say the sooner you start, you know, I mean, it's never too late to start, but if you do start early, I mean, my six-year-old can do that. You know, he'll say, like, I'm going to go read in my room now. I just need to take some space, you know, like, he knows how to say that already. And so I think it's important to teach those. It's self-care also, right? It's helping motivation even, right?
I really love about your book is that you give kids a way to express what they're feeling through art and to have these little exercises that feel really fun, but in a way, you're getting them to look at deeper issues underneath it. Like, what are the emotions underneath it? But in a way that kids feel are light and easy to do. So could you give me an example of one of those?
One is called tree tracings, where a parent or caregiver or an educator or counselor or whoever is working with or raising children in their lives can teach kids mindfulness through a creative activity like tracing the outside of an object. So in the book, I talk about using nature and looking at trees just because there's a lot of additional benefits of being out in nature if we can. But even if you're not in nature, we can look for nature in the house and just take a pencil and a pen and trace around the outside by watching the sort of what we call the contour, the edge of the object, and then moving the pencil along the paper without looking at the paper, because it really doesn't matter what the result is or what it looks like in the end. It's really about the process of just being in the moment, observing an object, moving your hand around the paper. And so that one's called tree tracings. There's also another one called calm color combos, where kids are taught to mix paints into different color combinations to really listen to their own nervous system and to see which colors help them to feel that kind of like, ah, right? And which ones give them a little boost of energy, like, ooh. And so it's helping kids to learn about their nervous system. It's helping kids to learn that there are cues around us in our environment that can help us to feel a little bit calmer or a little bit more energized.
So do you have any specific time management tools that you can give the listeners that you use that have worked well for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've been, you know, sort of thematically talking about energy levels here. And I really resonate with your task intensity meter tool that is in your recent book.
Oh, good. So the task intensity meter asks you to rate tasks you have to do by how intense they feel to you to do in order to rearrange them so you're not stacking a bunch of highly stressful things on top of each other. But how do you interpret that?
Well, what I really connected with, and I think perhaps I broke it down even more to like sort of my physical energy level, my mental energy level, and my emotional energy level, because we were talking before about sort of compartmentalizing different modes. You know, also, I think that when we really listen to ourselves, we might notice that, you know, I might be high physical energy, but really low emotional energy, or I might be high mental energy, but low on physical energy. And so, you know, reading about your task intensity meter, I think really sort of like highlighted that notion of energy and being very intentional about thinking about where is my energy level? How do these different tasks or activities pull on my different energy levels so that I can be very, you know, mindful about doing things that fit my energy levels rather than trying to do something that doesn't match my energy level and then getting frustrated.
Right. So I know I could talk to you for hours. It's very easy for me to lose track of time.
I think we did recently, Risa.
Yeah, we did.
Over lunch.
And I just wanted to ask you to maybe leave the listeners with, why is creativity so important for our brains? And what are some simple ways we can use it more often throughout everyday life to liven things up?
Right. So I think that, you know, first to understand that, you know, the thinking, what we think of like our thinking brain is only a very small percentage of our cognitive, our mental capacity, that we have a big chunk of our brain that is tasked with emotion management. We have a big chunk of our brain that's tasked with survival, right? Just picking up on little cues throughout the day that says, am I safe? Am I not safe? You know, when I say safe, I mean like emotionally safe, relationally safe, not just physically safe. And so we have a lot of urges and impulses, and we get depleted energetically and we react to things, and we're not necessarily in our thinking brain. And what's very interesting is when we use creative strategies, not only does it slow us down and maybe reframe a situation, but it actually gives us access to those other parts of our brain, and it builds connections between our feeling brain, our survival brain, and our thinking brain.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is we're tapping into parts of our brains we can't access except when we're in these modes of creativity and daydreaming and imagination. And that is building neural connections and also helping us regulate our emotions, it sounds like, as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And there's very easy ways if you don't, again, if you feel like, oh, I'm not creative or I don't have access to art materials. I mean, office supplies are fine, but we can even do this in our imagination. Whenever I'm driving to work, I use stoplights and stop signs as my cue to look at the sky and just look at the blue color. Because for me and my nervous system, that's a calming color. And so I look at the blue sky, and where I live, it's often blue. So it's,
it's easy.
Like sort of reliable cue that I just look at the blue, the expanse of blue around me. And I just feel that inside. And so we can teach our kids these strategies as well.
So thank you so much, Erica, for being with me today. I always enjoy talking to you. Where else can they find you?
Oh, so you can look me up at therapywitherica.com, and that's E-R-I-C-A. I'm also on Instagram at Erica K. Curtis. You can subscribe to my newsletter, subscribe.therapywitherica.com/connect. And I put that out quarterly with wellness tips, workshops, sneak peeks inside my book, and a lot more.
Okay. I hope you will check it out. And thanks so much again, Erica.
Thanks so much, Risa. Take care.
Some takeaways from my talk with Erica today. Learn how to shift out of different mind modes, as Erica calls them, to figure out where you want to deliberately direct your mental energy in different segments throughout your day. Use art and imagination as a way to help you practice mindfulness. And learn to give your different energy levels names so that you can figure out what state you want to direct yourself to next. To learn more about the task intensity meter that we discussed, please check out my books at theultimatetoolkitbooks.com. You can also join me for the upcoming episode of The Motivation Mindset called The Time Lab, where we'll test out the meter and see how it works in everyday life. I'm Risa Williams, and that's all the time we have today. Thanks for listening.